So today's daf, we're starting at Baba Kama Yugimel. We're going to go back a little bit to the middle of Yubet and Mubet, sort of summarize, and then get up to where we got up to yesterday when we learned Chag together. Okay, refer to them up for the week. David ben Abraham ben Miriam, Dvarah Badina, Oz Abraham Shimon ben Chana, or the Penina bar Racha Frida Chaya Malka Esther bat Zipporah, Leah bat Rivka, Yalmir bat Chaya, Yaakov ben Rosa, David ben Golda, Michal Elishevet Dvarah bat Kadima, Daphna Chaya bat Sarah, Tali Rachel bat Tamar Sarah, Liloy Nishmal Chana bat Atara Reza bat Sarah, Tzvi Hirsch ben Yaakov Halevi, Umelav, and Yosef ben Tzvi Hakon. Okay, we were talking about, the Mishnah said, gave a list. Nechasim, She'em, Behem, Milah was the first on the list. These are the things where you're high of damages. So property that doesn't have Me'ilah. So the first understanding of the Gemara we saw yesterday was Me'ilahu Delepe HaMikdash Kadshe. In other words, it's only things that don't have it's things that don't have Me'ilah, meaning if we're going to exclude Kodashim, the category of Hekdesh, we're going to exclude specifically the Kodshe Kodshim and not the Kodshim Kalim, because the Kodshim Kalim don't have a chiyuv of me'ila, because what's the difference between kodshei kodshim and kodshim kalim? Kodshei kodshim are things that are kulol shamayim, like the ola and the chata and the asham, as opposed to things that the ba'alim get to eat parts of it, like the shlamim and the bechor for the kohen and a bunch of other things. So things that we're allowed to eat are going to be considered mamon ba'alim. And if they're mamon ba'alim, then you can be chayav in damages, because it's all his ikshur re'ehu, right? His friends. So it has to be owned by the Baalim. So then we said that this shita must be Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The kodshim kalim are considered mamon Baalim, because not everybody agrees to this. Okay? And then they said, according to this, so then they brought up this question, you can follow in the sheet. Okay, according to this, we said, well, there's a Mishnah, which we had seen previously, that says that you can't be Mekadesh a woman with Kodshim Kalim. Are you going to say that that doesn't match Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Because Rabbi Yossi Aglili would say you can, it's Mamam Balim. Okay, so then they said, even if you say Rabbi Yossi Aglili would distinguish, and here you can see the chart, when Rabbi Yossi Aglili said in the Braita that Malah Mal Ba'Hashem is to include the Kodshim Kalim, which are Mamono. That's an animal when it's still alive. When you designate an animal for, let's say, a Korban Shlamim, and you haven't sacrificed it yet, so it's yours at that point. Once you sacrifice it, then we're going to say that this other Mishnah is applicable, which is, if you're Mekadesh with this Kodshim Kalim, then it's Ena Mekudesha, because at that point when you sacrifice it, it becomes God's property. Well, if it's God's property, how are you allowed to eat it? Because Mishulchan Gavoa Kachle. In other words, at that point it's God's property and God allows you to eat from his property. So according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili now, we're explaining that when it's alive, it's yours. When you do the Shechita, it's no longer alive and you've sacrificed it, at that point it becomes the property of God and it's Hekdesh. And at that point, the assumption would be if it damaged someone then, or someone damaged it, then it wouldn't be applicable. Okay? So now, we're going to question this, and in order to get to the question, okay, you can see we're now on the koshi part, we're going to have to get through this whole mahalach until we understand what the question is. Okay? And then the chart will help us understand it also. So now we're going to start from Umechayim Mi Amar. It's about 10 lines from the bottom. Umechayim mi amar, does Rabbi Yossi Aglili really say that when it's alive? Okay, now we're going to question Bichlal. Does he say when it's alive, it's really mamon ba'alim, like we said? Hatnan, isn't there a mission that says, Bichor mochrim oto tam chai, ubalmum chai v'shachut, umekadshim bo ataisha. A bichor, we can sell it. When can we sell it? A person can sell, okay, what's a bichor? Let's start. Person has his firstborn animal. He has to bring it to the Kohen. The Kohen can do two things with it, depending on what it is. If it's a tam, it's a perfect animal, then he has to sacrifice it in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, we'll get to what does he do if there is no Beit HaMikdash. But he has to sacrifice it in the Beit HaMikdash, and then he can eat it. Right? So that's why it's Kodshim Kalim. If it has a mum, then he can he can be podedemum, okay, he can redeem it, and then he gets to eat it, okay? So now we're learning that if he wants to sell it to another Kohen, he's allowed to do that when? If it's a Tam, he can do it while it's still alive. And if it's a Baal Mum, he can do it whether it's alive or shechted. Because remember, once he shechs it, it's his own and he can eat it. He can, right, he can flip it onto a coin and then eat it. And Mekachim Bo Ataisha. So comes Rav Nachman in the name of Rav Ravua. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Ravua. This statement, okay, this Mishnah, that you can sell it chai or Baal Mum, chai v'shachut, live or dead. Lo shanu ela b'chor b'zman hazeh. This whole allowance to take this bechor while it's alive, before we shechted it, right? Now we're only talking about the Tam case. In a case where it can be shechted, according to this, what does it say? If it hasn't been shechted yet, which is exactly the distinction we made with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, if it hasn't been shechted yet, what did Rabbi Yossi Aglili say? It's mamam balim. Comes Rav Nachman and says, no. If it's this whole Mishnah was only said in a time when there is no Beit HaMikdash, in which case we're not sacrificing them, and that's why he's allowed to do it when it's chai. But if it was Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam, and it's Ra'oi LaHakrava, then it's not Mamon Ba'alim, and he cannot sell it. Okay? Now, Eitivei Rava LaRav Nachman. Now, Rava comes and questions Rav Nachman and says, how could you say this? Umala mal bashem lirabot kodshim kalim shehem amono divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rava comes, remember, we're not yet at the question, okay, so just hold off yet. So we have this source about the bechor that you can sell it only chai, not shachut. Then comes Rav Nachman, and he says, this is only talking about when there's no Beit HaMikdash. If there was a Beit HaMikdash, he wouldn't even be able to sell it alive. Comes Ravina, and he says, comes Rava, and he questions, and he says, but wait a minute, didn't we learn from this Malam al-Bashem, okay, that we learned yesterday, I'm not going to go into the details of it now, that it includes Kodshim Kalim, meaning that Kodshim Kalim or Mamon Ba'alim, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, in which case we should be able to say that even if it's Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam, you should be allowed to sell it because it's Mamon Ba'alim. Umeshane Ravina, Bechor Bechutz La'aretz, Ba'aliba de Rabbi Shimon. In other words, right now we have this source, we have one source that says, Bechor Mechorino Tochai, right? But we said, not Ra'oi LaHakrava. In other words, if it's Ra'oi LaHakrava, you can't sell it. It's Mamon Kavua. Then you have the other source that says, Ma'ala Ma'al, Kodshim Kodshim, or Mamon Ad Ba'alim. So comes Ravina, what does he answer? He says, Bechor V'chutz La'aretz, Va'aliba de Rabbi Shimon. The source that says about Kodshim Kalim, or Mamon Ba'alim, is talking about Bechor V'chutz La'aretz. In other words, even Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam, okay, now remember, the conclusion from Rav Nachman is, Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam, Bechor is Mamon Gavoah. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Bechor is Mamon Ba'alim. So now we're going to say that when Rabbi Yossi Aglili said, Mamon is Bechor Ba'alim, Ravina answers, what is he talking about? He's talking about Bechor Bechutz La'aretz, and according to Shita, Rabbi Shimon, De'amar, what did Rabbi Shimon say? In Ba'ut Mimim, if this Bechor from Chutz La'aretz ends up in Israel, let's say the owners move to Israel and they bring all their animals with them, and it comes to Israel, Yikrivu, you have to sacrifice it. But what does that imply? Only Imba'u. But, right, Imba'u'in, but L'chadchila lo. If you live in Chutz La'aretz and you have a Bechor, and it's the time of the Beit HaMikdash, you do not have to bring, you're not chayav to bring this animal to Eretz Yisrael to sacrifice. If you happen to come to Eretz Yisrael with the animal, then you have to sacrifice it. But you don't have to. Meaning, the Bechor Bechutz La'aretz is Mamon Ba'alim, but Bechor Ba'aretz would be Mamon Gavoah. So comes Ravina and he says, very simply, we have this contradiction. Let's deal with it. What do we say? The source that said Bechor Mechorim Otoch Tam Chai, right, Benat Shachut, is talking about, right, is Man She'en Beit HaMikdash Kayam, but Bizman She'Beit HaMikdash Kayam, it's all Mamon Gavoah. Because that's talking about Bechor Ba'aretz. But in the Zman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam, and you have a Bechor B'chutz La'aretz, That's what Rabbi Yossi Galili says. When he says the Kachim Kalim or Mamon Baalim, he's talking about Alibi de Rabbi Shimon. He's talking about Bechor Bechutz La'aretz.
If you were coming to Israel to a trade or something, are you required to take the Bechor with you? Like, you're saying, like, if you're
you don't have to, no. If the Bechor ends up in Israel for whatever reason.
But you don't have to.
You don't have to bring it. Okay, so now, what does this have to do with us? Okay, so this is, right, this is the whole Ma'alach we built in order to resolve this contradiction according to Rav Nachman's understanding. We said, we have to say, one is Bechor Ba'aretz, one is Bechor Bechutz La'aretz. So now, what do we say? V'im ita d'chiyama Rabbi Yossi aglili mamonuhu mechayin. If Rabbi Yossi Aglili really says, right, that it's his mamon, even mizman shabed hamikdash kayam, it's mamon ba'alim, kol od, you didn't shecht it, then lishni, we should have, Rabina should have explained the stira in a very much, in a much simpler manner. Instead of saying, one is b'chor ba'aretz and one is b'chor b'chutz la'aretz, which there was no mention of it at all, why don't we say something simpler? Ha Rabbi Yossi Aglili, ha Rabbanan. That the b'chor, the source that said, according to Rav Nachman, that it's Mamon Gavoha, if we're talking about Bizman Shabin Mikdash Kayam, it's Mamon Gavoha was talking about Shitat Chachamim, who disagreed with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And the source that was according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili that says it's Mamon Baalim is talking about before it was Shechted. In other words, and then we wouldn't have to say Bechor Ba'aretz, Bechor Bechutz La'aretz. So the fact that they didn't, Rabina didn't answer this and just said, oh, don't worry about this contradiction. That's Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that's Chachamim, who disagree with him. So the fact that they didn't do that makes it appear that what? That Rabbi Yossi Aglili even thinks that Michaim, Bizman Shabbat Mikdash Kayam, it would be a problem. And he only thinks, right, that it's not a problem if we're talking about, let's say, Bechor Bechutz La'aretz. Okay? So that's their question right now. So what does the Gemara answer? So now the Gemara says, no, you could still say that Rabbi Yossi Haglili holds that Michaim, okay, it's Mamon Baalim. But why didn't it answer that here? Because Matnot Kehuna Ka'amarta. Shani Matnot Kehuna Dachizachi Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachi. That this case of the Bechor Mechuinoto Tam Chai is talking about Matnot Kehuna, which even Rabbi Yossi Aglili would agree is Mamon Gavoa. And when Rabbi Yossi Aglili said the Kodshim Kalim is Mamon Baalim, he was talking about things other than Bechor. In other words, there's this hierarchy, and that there's a difference. You couldn't say, oh, that's Rabbi Yossi Aglili and that's Chachamim, because even Rabbi Yossi Aglili would agree with this Bechor source, because he would say Bechor has different criteria. It's at a different level. You're comparing Matnot. Now we're going to say within Kodshim Kalim, there's a hierarchy. And even Matnot Keuna, he would agree, is Mamon Gavoa. And he would therefore agree with that source. And the fact that it's Malam Al Bashem doesn't disagree, because he would say there's a difference between Matnot Keuna and Kodshim Kalim. Okay. Gufa. Now we're going to go into the statement that he said. Umalam Al Bashem lirabot Kodshim Kalim. Shehem Mamono divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So let's just go back now, okay? Maybe we should get into this. Malam Al Bashem, we saw this yesterday, is a pasuk about Shvuat HaPikadon. What does this mean? This means that you give me something to watch, and I decide I want to steal it for myself, and I say, oh, somebody stole it, and I go and I go to court, and I swear that somebody stole it from me, okay? And then I come and I say, you know what, I really lied, or it becomes clear that I lied. So at this point, what happens? I have to, it says in the pasuk, Umala mal b'Hashem, I did something wrong against God, that's going to be our drasha words, v'chichesh ba'amito, and I denied something as regards to my friend. So because it says v'chichesh ba'amito, what do we learn here? We're only talking about mamon ba'alim and not mamon hektesh. However, it says the words ma'ala ma'al ba'ashem, which is usually the words of me'ila, right? It sounds like hektesh. So what do you mean? On the one hand, it's v'chichesh ba'amito, it's his friend. On the other hand, it talks about ma'ala ma'al. So what, ba'ashem, so what do they say? It must be including some sort of case of kodshim. So comes Rabbi Yossi Aglili and he says, it must be including all Kodshim Kalim, Shehem Mamono. Okay, which now we just said maybe not Bechor, but the other Kodshim Kalim. So that's Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Ben Azai Omer, Lirabot et Hashlamim. It comes to include Shlamim. Okay, meaning not all Kodshim Kalim, but just the case of Shlamim. Abi Yossi Ben Dostai Omer, Lo Amar Ben Azai, Ela Bechor Bilvad. No, Rabbi, when Ben Azai said it comes to include Shlamim, you misunderstood. No, what he meant was just Bechor, okay? Which sounds like not Shlamim. Now, the question is, what did Shlamim mean? Did Shlamim mean just Shlamim or Shlamim and Bechor? And then Rabbi Avad Dostai says, no, just Bechor, not Shlamim. And now we're going to talk about a different hierarchy than we saw before. Okay, so now we're going to try to understand this. Amar Mar, so let's go into this. Ben Azai Omer L'Rabot Et HaShlamim. Okay, L'Rabot Et HaShlamim means to include Shlamim, but what does it mean? It means to include Shlamim, but not include something else. So we're going to try to figure out a hierarchy. We're going to see two different hierarchies here, according to one reading and according to the other. So he says, this comes to include Shlamim. So L'Me'utemai, what does it exclude then? Which do we say is a higher level of Hekdesh that wouldn't be included in this case of V'chichesh Bamito, because it would be real Hekdesh? Ilema L'Me'utei Bechor, if you want to say it comes to exclude Bechor, because Bechor is on a higher level, maybe... It doesn't make any sense because hashta umash lamim shetiunim smicha unisachim utnuvat chazev shok amart mamam baalim hu bechor mebaya. Shlamim has all these things that go on to the shlamim, the korban shlamim, that don't exist by bechor. Okay, number one, you have to do smicha on the animal, right? You put your weight on the animal. Nisachim, you bring the nisachim that go with it. You do the tnuvat chazev shok. You wave the chest and the thigh, and it has all these extra things that go along with it, and yet we say it's mamam baalim. So bechor, which has none of this stuff, you don't do any of those actions to the bechor. So it must be right. Bechor mebaya is even a question. Meaning, obviously, if we're going to say shlamim, it means shlamim and bechor are considered part of this chiyuv because they're all mamam baalim, and anything above it is going to be considered mamon gavoa. So now the question is going to be, what's above it then? So Ella, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, first they thought maybe Bechor is above it. Like we said before, Bechor is on a higher level. But then, no. Shlamim is clearly on a higher level. Bechor, I'm sorry, so this case must be Lemi'ute Maser. Maser Behema is on a higher level. What's Maser Behema? You have to take the tenth of every animal, right, and it goes to the Kohen. So why is Maser on a higher level? Kedetanya, okay, and then we're going to say, so if your friend tells you, watch my Maser Behema, and you try to steal it, and then you say, and you swear, and then you say, oh, I lied about it, then you wouldn't be responsible to pay, well, I didn't get into this, but you have to pay the Karen, the object itself, you have to add Chomesh. There's all sorts of things you have to do relating to this. So that wouldn't apply for Maser, because it's only V'chichesh Ba'amito and not B'gavoa. So now, right, Amito is your friend. So now, what does he say? Why Maaser? Because there's a braita about Maaser that explains like this. B'bechor ne'emar lo tifteh v'nim. Okay, so Bechor, it says you cannot redeem it. However, you might not be able to redeem it, but you can sell it, which we saw, right? How can you sell it? Well, depending on the circumstances. Nimkar tam chai. If it's a good animal, so you can sell it before it's shechted to another kohen. U'balmum chai v'shachut. And if it's a balmum, since you're allowed to eat it whenever you want, then... Right, you just have to shecht it and eat it. So whether it's alive or whether it's already shechted, you're allowed to sell it. B'maser ne'emar lo yigael. But b'maser, it doesn't say lo tifteh, it says it cannot be redeemed. Right? There are different words of redemption. Right? One is tifteh, lo yigael. Ve'eno nimkar lo chai ve'lo shachut lo tam ve'lo balmum. It cannot be sold under any circumstances. So what do you see here? It's a higher level of hekdesh. It can't be sold to anyone else. And therefore, we're going to say that's the case that's excluded. Okay. Now, Ravina comes in as a whole different explanation. So this was all to explain Ben Azai, who said, remember, there were three opinions. There was Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who said all kochim kalim are included, or amamo no. Ben Azai said only the shlamim, which now we explain means shlamim and bechor. And Rabbi Abba Yossi Ben Dostai says, no, when Ben Azai said that, he meant just bechor. So now, this whole understanding we have is to say, shlamim and bechor, it was on the middle statement there, on the shlamim line, and it meant shlamim and bechor are included in this halacha, and maaser is excluded. Comes Ravina and he says, no, you misunderstood this whole mahalach. This whole mahalach was really relating to the last case, and the way the mahalach goes is different. Okay, so let's read the same exact sugya, but on Abba Yossi ben Dostai's comment. So now we're going to say, Ravina matne la seifa. Abba Yossi ben Dostai omer lo amar ben azay ele bebechor bilvad. Lemiute mai. What did he want to exclude when he said Bechor Bilvad? Ilem lemiute shlamim. If you say it's coming to exclude shlamim, so hashtu ma Bechor shekadosh mirechem mamonohu. Shlamim mibaya. Now it's going to be the exact opposite. If you want to say that the Bechor case comes to say Bechor, but not shlamim, shlamim is more kadosh, you can't say that. Because what makes Bechor unique as opposed to Shlamim? Shlamim is a regular animal that you decided to designate as something holy. But Bechor was holy from the time it was in the rechem of its mother. So a Bechor has a holiness that doesn't exist by Shlamim. So to say that Shlamim, right before we said Shlamim, is more chamor because it's got all these things that we do to it, that we don't do to Bechor. But now we're saying, no, Bechor must be more kadosh, and yet we're still calling it Mamon Baalim, so obviously Shlamim also. So Shlamim Abaya, so therefore comes Rabbi Yochanan, because remember, we're reading the same halach according to a different reading. So comes Rabbi Yochanan and say, well, it can't be coming to exclude Shlamim. So El Amar Rabbi Yochanan Lemi'ute Maser Kedetanya. Okay, now we're going to have the exact same braita, because we're saying this, right, we're reading the sugya according to this reading. Kedetanya Bebechor Ne'emar Lo Tifteh, and yet it's Nimkar Tam Chai Uval Mum Chai V'Shachut. And b'maser ne'amar lo yigael ve'eno nimkar lo chai ve'lo shachut lo tam ve'lo balmum. So therefore, right, we're going to assume that when he said ela b'bechor bilvav, what did he mean? He meant bechor and obviously shlamim, which is less kadosh than bechor, but to exclude maser. Maser is mamon gavah. Okay, so we have like a flip whether, right, shlamim and it includes bechor as baalim, or is it bechor and it includes shlamim as baalim, and yet everyone, right, either way you read this, the maaser is excluded. Okay, but now what's going to be the problem with this reading? It's an obvious problem. What's the problem? We want to now say that Abba Yossi ben Dostan, when he said, lo amar ben azai ela bebechor bilvav, what did he mean? Bechor and shlamim. But what did he say? Ela bebechor Bilvad, exclusively. It sounds like he meant only Bechor, not Shlamim. So they're going to say that this reading is difficult because Habe Bechor Bilvad Ka'amar, Kashya. Okay, so now they're saying this whole second reading, that we wanted to say that this whole Ma'alach was said on the last statement and it meant Bechor and Shlamim to exclude Ma'aser, is a very difficult reading because it says just Bechor Bilvad, which sounds like exclusively and it doesn't make so much sense. So therefore, the first reading is much better. Okay, Rava Amar, so now, okay, we're closing, that was all a tangent, right? We wanted to get off onto this, Ma'ala Ma'al Ba'ashem L'Rabot Kodshim Kalam Shem Amuno, we've got the Shvuat HaPikadon, and what it's excluding, right? What's included, what's excluded? Now we're going to go back to where we were, okay? So let's start at where we started today. We had this statement in the Mishnah, Nechasim She'em Behem Mila, you can look at the top of the sheet, right? And what did we say? It must come to include some sort of kachim. Which kachim are we going to include? The kachim kalim, right? And then we had this whole thing, and then we even came to the distinction that maybe there's a difference before and other things. Now, Rava comes and has a whole different reading of that line. He says, when it says nechasim she'em behem mila, okay, on the sheet today, we're now near the bottom. Okay, Rava Amar Havanashtayim. Okay, we're up to the second understanding. So Rava Amar, my nechasim she'em behem mi'ila, nechasim she'em behem di mi'ila, umay ninhu dehedyot. When we say nechasim she'em behem mi'ila, we don't mean only things that are aser bahana, as opposed to kodshim kalim. No, we mean anything. Anything that's gavoa, kodshe kodshim, kodshim kalim. Anything that's gavoa is excluded from the halacha of damages. So if you damage someone, sure, that's a shlamim. So you're pater. So then they say, if that's the case, and it means hedyot, so why did he use this weird lashon of she'en behemila? Vilidni de hedyot. It should have just said hedyot. So they say, kashya, yes, that's difficult. Okay? In other words, Rava's explanation is difficult because it doesn't really make so much sense. The Mishnah would have used the term she'en behemila. It should have just said, you know, de gavoa versus, you know, it should have said de hedyot. Nechasim de hedyot, you're chayav, and not other things. So it's a difficult, if it's a difficulty with his perush. Okay, now we're going to get into something else here. Amar Rabbi Abba, shlamim shehiziku. Let's say you have an animal, a shor, that was designated to be a korban shlamim, and it damages another animal. Now there's two parts to the shlamim animal. What happens? You take this animal, you sacrifice it. You eat the meat. However, the imurim, which is part of the animal, there's parts of the animal that have to be burned entirely on the mizbeach. that you don't get to eat. So the shore is made up of, okay, in the example I gave an example. Let's say the shore, okay, let's say we're talking about a kakeis of a shore tam. The shore tam is worth 200. Okay, I wrote this down at the bottom of the sheet. Okay, the shore you damage is also worth 200. So how much do you have to pay? 100. If you remember, what does a shore tam pay? From the goof of the animal. Remember that? That was the whole thing about the difference between a shore tam and a shore muad. A shore muad has to pay mina aliyah, meaning you have to take money from somewhere else. But the shore tam can pay with the animal, the dead animal. In other words, he gives back the dead animal to the person and says, ah, this dead animal has value, so I'm paying that part of my value, which often, let's say, right, could possibly be that the value of that animal is enough already to pay half the damages, right, just the nevela itself. So now, and if not, you have to pay the extra. So how much does this guy have to pay now? He has to pay from the value of the animal. What's the problem, though? The dead animal is made up of two parts. It's made up of the basar, the meat, which is hedyot, and it's made up of the imurim, which all get burned on the mizbeach and are not part of the animal that can be paid. Right? You can't pay from the imurim because they're hektesh. So now you have this animal that's part hektesh and part not hektesh, right? It's part bali. So now, let's say, okay, so let's go on with this example. 150 of this is basar, okay? The basar of the short time is 150. The imurim are worth 50. So if he has to pay half of the damages, what does he pay? Does he pay 75, half of what he can pay from? Or does he pay, in other words, or does he pay also from the, in other words, does he say, well, we still have, if the short...
Does it have to cover the loss of the
animal? Right. Does it have to cover the entire loss, or is it from the animal itself? So let's read this inside. Okay. Shlamim sheiziku goveh mibsaran ve'eino goveh mi'imurehen. Okay. Rabbi Abba comes and says, shlamim the damaged, you're only goveh from the basar and not from the imurim. So now the question is going to be, what does this mean? Okay. So first they say, pshita. Imurim legavoh salke. Obviously you can't pay from the imurim. So, right, what's the assumption right now? You have this short time of shlamim. He damaged, right, a value of 200. He has to pay 100. Well, he's got 150's worth of basar, so from that 150, he's going to pay 100 worth of basar. Okay? So now, he pays... Sorry, I think I explained something wrong. I confused two things. He can pay the dead animal, okay? But he only has to pay... Sorry, that wasn't the important part. He only has to pay from the value of his own animal. That's what I forgot to point out. I knew I was missing something. If he's worth less than what the damages are, his animal that damaged, right? If let's say his animal's only worth 50 and he damaged 100's worth, so he only has to pay 50. Okay? So now, if this animal is worth 150 and he damaged 100, so you would say, right, if he's worth 150 plus the 50 of the imurim, so what do you say very simply? Well, he has to pay 100 because he still has 150 value. So even though the imurim are 50, he still has 150 within him to pay the damage. So they say, if that's what you meant, well, that's obvious. Pshita, imurim legavoh asalke, right? So therefore, obviously you're all not going to pay from the imurim. You're going to take from the 150 of the animal and give 100's worth to the guy. But now, to the guy you damaged. But now they're going to say, no, no, no. Obviously, that's not what he meant, because that's pshita. Lo tzricha ligoveh mifsaran kineged ha'imurim. Ba'aliba deman. Okay, so now we're going to say, what does it mean? It means that if you have this, your animal's now worth 150. Now, if you have to pay half damages, and you only have 150 to pay, so we're going to pay 75 from there, and 25 from the imurim, right? You're going to split this animal in half, so split him exactly down the middle. He's got, right, half of him is 75 for the nezek and 25 from the imurim, right, because that's half of each. But the 25, you can't pay. So you only pay 75 because you look at it as if this animal is made up of two parts and we're going to split each in half. Well, the half of the imurim doesn't go into the consideration, so then he only actually pays 75. And you can't say, well, I'll take from the part that I can pay from and it'll cover the other half. Okay, now wait, you'll see this better as we see the example. So they say, if that's what he meant to say, well, Aliba Deman, who is he going like? So now we're going to quote this other, okay, they don't quote the whole thing, so I'll give you the background. Okay, I made a little chart of it at the bottom. If a shore tom pushes another shore into a bore, so now what happens? There's really two owners who cause damage. There's the Baal HaShor and there's the Baal HaBor. Now, if the Baal HaBor pays, what does he pay? Full damages, because Bor is Mu'ab Mitchilatan. The Shor only has to pay half damages. So there's two options as to what could happen here. Now, in theory, because the Shor pushed the animal in, so you could say he's fully responsible, because without the Shor, nothing would have happened. So the first opinion is Rabbanan, and what does he say? The Baal HaShor pays half damages, because he only has to pay half damages. It's a short time. Sorry, I wrote this chart wrong. The Baal HaShor pays half damages according to Rabbanan, and the Baal HaBor is patur. Okay, I did it like the wrong thing. It should be, you could put like Rabbanan and Rabbi Natan on the side, and Baal HaShor and Baal HaBor at the top. So the Baal HaBor is patur, according to him. Okay, the Baal HaBor, according to Chachamim, doesn't need to pay anything. The Baal HaShor is fully responsible. Rabbi Natan says no. The Baal HaBor and the Baal HaShor are both responsible. So what happens? They're both equally responsible. So the Baal HaShor pays half of half, because he's only responsible for half of the damage of half of the act, because he shares responsibility with the Baal HaBor. So he pays a quarter of damages. You follow? Because he only caused half of the damage, but of the half of the damage, he only has to pay chatzi nezek. So he pays a quarter. What does the Baal HaBor pay? Three quarters. Because he's fully responsible. So in this case, he's half responsible, right? In other words, he doesn't have to pay partial responsibility because there's a Baal HaShor. But according to Rabbi Natan, he only has to pay what the Baal HaShor doesn't pay. In other words, since the Baal HaShor, since he was fully responsible and the Baal HaShor was only partially responsible and he only paid a quarter, the Baal HaBor has to make up for everything else and he pays three quarters damage. So now, how does this work with our case? It's the same thing with the Imurim, or maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Right now we're going to say it's the same. Do we look like Chachamim and say these are two separate things and as long as one is paying right, the other has nothing to do with it, the Imurim have nothing to do with it and don't come into the consideration at all? Or do we say, we can say that the Imurim are supposed to pay just like, right, and the body, the basar, has to make up for what the Imurim can't pay, just like the Baal HaBor has to make up for what the Shor Tom can't pay. So now they're going to say, so if you're going to say like Rabbanan, okay, that, right, the Baal HaBor is entirely patur, so then, and then you'd say, right, you're not govek keneged imurim, meaning you only pay 75. Well, that would be pshita. You wouldn't even need to say this halacha. It would be obvious if you're holding like chachamim. So therefore, it doesn't make sense to say that. Ha'amre, because what do Rabbanan say? Ki leka lishtalume mehai, when you don't have enough to pay from here, lo mishtalimne mehai. In other words, you don't use one to compensate for the other. So when you're not chayav for the imurim, because that part's all gavoa, then you don't use the other to be mashlim for what the gavoa didn't pay. And if you're going to go like Rabbi Natan, ha'amar ki leka lishtalume mehai, mishtalim mehai. He dafka says that when you don't have to pay from one, you pay from the other. So then, you should actually have to pay for the imuim. So now we can't figure out, when Rabbi Abba made his statement, what he was talking about. So now we're going to explain, no. You could distinguish between the boar and the shore case and the imuim case, which there's obvious distinctions, right? It's not at all the same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that they even started the comparison. Ibat Emer Rabbi Natan, Ibat Emer Rabbanan. Okay, you could explain either which way. Ibat Emer Rabbanan, what could you say? Hane Mile Betray Gufe. Right there, you're talking about two different things. There's the Baal HaBor and there's the Baal HaShor. Those are two different beings. They're two different people. Okay? And that's why one doesn't compensate for the other. But Becha Gufe Matse Amarle Mikol Hechadibinam Mishalamna. In other words, you could say this is one body of one animal. This animal caused the damage. If you're not going to pay me from the imuim part, pay me from the first part, right? And I want you to pay me the money. Matse Amarle, right? Mikol Hechadibinam Mishalamna. And therefore, what would you have said? You could think that that's what Chachamim would say, and that's why he needs to be Mechadesh. that you don't take from the Imurim. Now, did you follow? You would have thought the whole thing we thought before was it's Pshita, you wouldn't. So they're saying, no, it's not Pshita. Because just because it doesn't work with the Baal HaShor and the Baal HaBor, that's when there's two different people there. But when it's all one animal, you might have thought we could take from the Basar 100, so what if it's Kenegan Imurim? But the Chidush is you don't. Ibait Ema Rabbi Natan. Or you could say like Rabbi Natan, and now we're not answering the Pshita, now we're saying, why would Rabbi Natan say there the Baal HaBor compensates, but here the Basar doesn't compensate for the Imurim, and you only pay 75? Why would that be? Because Hatam Hu Da'amar Le Baal HaShor Le Baal HaBor Ana Torai Bibirchash Kachte. There the Baal HaShor could say to the Baal HaBor, but my animal was found in your pit. Now you might tell me a shore pushed him in there, but look, here's the evidence. He's sitting in your boar. So you're responsible. My delay lashtalume meheach mishalem neminech. Whatever the other one isn't paying, you've got to compensate because in the end he fell into your boar. Avalhacha mi matze amar basar azik imurin lo azik. But you can't say here, well, the meat of the animal was what damaged, but the imurim didn't. Right? There aren't two different things going on here, and therefore he wouldn't say the same thing in both cases. Okay, so that was this one statement we had about the imurim, right? That when you have a shlamim, we separate the animal kind of into two, and we only pay from the basar and not from the imurim. So when we evaluate the damage, we're going to pay chatzi nezek from the value of the basar. And when we tried to understand it based on this machloket, and we had to understand why what he was mechadesh. So now we said he could be mechadesh either according to chachamim or according to Rabbi Natan. Now we have a different case. Amar Rava. Todashi Zika. Okay, we're giving all sorts of cases of kodshim kalim that are going to cause damage where you're responsible. But there's going to be certain unique things about them because there's other issues involved here. So a toda, what happens with a korban toda? You bring a korban, you eat the vasar. With it, you bring 40 loaves of bread. You remember that? The 10 of each of different types. Todashi Zika. Govemi psara ve'eno govemi lachma. You give the guy who you damaged the meat of the animal, but you don't give him from the bread. So the Gemara says, lechem pshita. Obviously, you're not going to give him the bread. What does he have to do with the bread? So they say, seifa itzrichale, nizak ochel basar umitkaper mevi lechem. In other words, what happens? The nizak eats the basar, and the guy who was supposed to bring the korban, he's mitkaper mevi lechem, I think. One second.
One being toned.
Right. The one who is supposed to bring the korban toda himself, right? In other words, the guy who gets damaged brings the meat, right? He finishes up the korban of the meat and he eats it. The guy who was supposed to bring the korban toda, how does he get his kapara then if he doesn't eat the meat, right? He doesn't. So what does he do? He brings the bread. So they're saying, therefore, it's obvious that he would be the one bringing the bread. So now, hanami pshita. They're saying that's also obvious that he brings the bread. In other words, you don't need to tell us that. So now they're saying, ma'u detema kevan de lechem hechshere de zevachu lemale atachalt basar va'ana aite lechem kamashmalan de lechem chiyuva de baalimhu. What are we worried? He might say, well, look, this was my korban toda to bring, but you're bringing the meat. If you're going to bring the meat, well, then you have to bring the bread also, as you're responsible then to finish up the korban. So the chidush is no. The point is that you have to, if you're the one who's supposed to bring the korban toda, then you have to bring the bread. In other words, the bread is a chiyuv on the baalim, and it's not an added thing that connects with the meat. In other words, that's the whole thing. Is it a chiyuv of the baalim, or is it once you're bringing the meat, you have to bring the bread? So no, it's a chiyuv of the baalim, and that's what this is. That's what Rav is coming to teach you. The toda sheizika govemi v'sara, but a no govemi milechem. In other words, he doesn't get to eat the lechem. He doesn't get to bring the lechem. He doesn't get to eat the lechem. The lechem is a total independent section that belongs to the body. Okay, done with this section of the meila. Okay, now we're moving on to the next line of the Mishnah, which is nechasim shehen shel bnei brit. So what does that mean? Obviously, what's it coming to tell you? Only if you damage a Jew's property, but not a non-Jew's property. So that's what the Gemara is going to say. Lemi'ute mai. Well, I lemi'ute dovei kochavim. If you're going to say that it comes to exclude dovei kochavim, which is the obvious, that you're not responsible to pay him damages, hakatane la lekaman. It already says that in a different Mishnah. So why would you need to say it here? Okay, lekama means further on in the Masechet, it says it. Shor shel Yisrael shenagach shor shel avei kochavim patur. So it says it explicitly. So it doesn't make sense that it says it here. So what are the answer? No. Tana v'hadam refarish. They said it here as a general thing, and there they explained it. Okay, we're going to see this in another minute also. The next line in the Mishnah was, if you remember, it had to have all these criteria, right? It had to be nechasim sheim b'mi'ila. It had to be nechasim sheim shel b'nei brit. Had to be nechasim hamiyuchadim. So what is nechasim hamiyuchadim? Now we're going to have several different interpretations of what nechasim miyuchadim means. So we understood nechasim miyuchadim meaning they belong to somebody, that it damaged a shore that belongs to somebody. But now we're going to see a few different options. Lemi'utemai, what does it come to exclude? Amar Rav Yehuda, lemi'ute, ze omer shor chayizik, v'ze omer shor chayizik. If you want to say that it comes to say, let's say there was a difference of opinion about whose shor did the damage. So that's what nechasim miyuchadim. It has to be, it's clear who did the damage. But if you want to say that, hatani leila kaman. It already says that also in a different Mishnah. Hayushnaim rotfin achar echad. There were two animals chasing another one. Ze omer shor chayizik, v'ze omer shor chayizik. And it wasn't clear which one attacked, right? In the end, there were two shores chasing this other one. Shneihem p'turin, it says they're both patur, so therefore you wouldn't need to say the nechasim yuchadim in our Mishnah refers to that, because this is said in another Mishnah. They say, that doesn't bother us. Tane v'hadim refarish. You could say it that way. B'matnita tane, here's another braita that explains our Mishnah, that nechasim yuchadim means something else. So nechasim yuchadim, first interpretation, clearly not the way we understood it before, means it's not clear which shore damaged. Second option, prat l'nichse hefker. It's to exclude hefker. Well, now hefker could mean, right, which shore was hefker? The shore that damaged or the third shore that was damaged? Hechadami. Ilem adinagach Torah didan l'torah de hefker. Well, let's say you want to say a regular shore, my shore, went and gored a shore of hefker. Well, that can't possibly be that's what's coming to exclude, because mantavile. If it's hefker, so who's claiming damages? It doesn't belong to anybody. There's nobody claiming damages for it. Ela dinagach Torah de hefker l'torah didan. Right? Lezavalete. If you want to say it's a shore of Hekdesh, that gore a shore of someone else's, so lezavalete, in other words, what could you say? The shore that got damaged, the owner of the shore that got damaged, what could he do? He could just, the shore of Hefker doesn't belong to anyone. What could he say? I'm just taking the shore of Hefker, it's going to be mine. And then that will cover my damages, or at least, right, if let's assume it was a short time. Let's say it's worth about half, you know, it would cover his damages. So he could take, or no, it doesn't really matter. Whatever it would be, it could in theory cover the loss. So he would just take it himself. So what did they say? No. It would be a case, b'shekadam b'zachabo acher. If someone, right, the shore of Hefker goes and attacks, in the meantime, before anything happens, before he grabs it himself to be his own, the shore that got damaged, right, the owner of the shore that got damaged, someone else took the shore of Hefker and said, oh, this is mine. That would be the case where you're patur, right? You can't go claiming damages from him. If he claimed it for himself already, some other guy, he's not responsible. Okay, so that's option number two. So it's a shore of hefker that damaged someone else's shore. And in the meanwhile, somebody said, oh, I'm taking the shore of hefker, and was zochebo. That's the case where you're patur. Okay, last case we'll end here for today. Ravina Amar Lemi'ute Nagach V'acharka Chichtish. It's to exclude the case where a shore damaged, and then, and this could be a very strange case, and then you were machtish the animal. After the shore damage, you're machtish the animal, you're no longer chayav. Right? It's almost like you might want to do that to avoid becoming responsible. So it's a good question about what's the reality of this case and how you can do this. Okay? Nagach v'acharkach ifkir. Or the shore is nagach, and then you were mafkir. Now you have to remember, you might say, well, that's a good way of getting out of things, but you're not getting out of anything because in the end you lose your shore anyway. So it's not like you're really going to be putcher from things. Okay, Tanya Namihachi, we're going to see that this source, we have a bright to that corroborates that this could be a case where someone would be putcher. Yet, okay, Namar Rabbi Yehuda, afilu nagach b'acharka chikdish, nagach b'acharka chifkir putcher. Why? Shneamar v'hu abi ba'alav. Okay, he was, right, it was testified against. V'hemit ish, ad shetehei mita v'ha'amada badin shavim. They say here, hu abi ba'alav is, right, the Hamada Bedin, and the Mita, Behemit Ish, all of it has to be that the animal is in the same status. The animal changes status between one, right, between the time he damaged until the time that they put the shore on, you know, on trial, or the owner of the shore on trial, if it's the status of the animal changes, you're patur. So the ad shtei mitav amada b'din shavin ke'echad. So now they say v'gmar din lo be'inan. The continuation of pasuk says ha ashur yisakel. Right? Ashur yisakel is the gmar din. So then don't we assume that not only does it have to be the mitah, the hamada b'din, have to be that the shore is on the safe side, but even the gmar din, because it says v'ashur yisakel. So what do they say? Ela ema ad shetehei mitah v'amada b'din u gmar din shavin ke'echad. So if the animal changes status at any one of these points, then the owner's no longer responsible. Okay? It's a very strange case. But
meaning he doesn't have to pay?
He doesn't have to pay.
He loses the ox in any case,
right.
But what about
now, there's a whole debate. I don't have time to get into this, but you can look at in the details there. But there's a whole debate about whether you're allowed to do this dafka only in a short tam case, or some people say only in a short muad case. There's a whole machloket rishonim. Which case are you even allowed to do this? So you're not necessarily allowed to do it in one or the other case. Or some people say you can do it in either case. So there's three opinions about whether it can't be done in a short time, it can't be done in a short muad, or maybe it can be done in either one. Okay, but remember, it doesn't help you very much to get out of damages because in the end, you're right. But the shur won't be niskal in that case, according to this, because you've done it. Which then also seems to imply maybe it's a short muad case, although you could say he became muad. Anyway, whatever. It's a big debate there. What case?